I'm unbuttoning my pants.
All right.
Greetings, Canadians, apropos posse. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Sorry. With your
salsa.
Jeez.
And Jenna.
Fuck. Or unbuckle up for the sex, as it were. Jesus.
No, look. I have a full uterus that's doing its thing right now, so you all get to have that image in your brains. But yeah, I'm undoing the button on my pants.
When you say that, I just have a Warner Brothers cartoon, like do 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 do.
Oh God, I wish it was that happy.
All right.
Oh God.
I am pouring you a brown liquid.
All right.
This brown liquid.
Does it have hops in it?
No.
Oh.
None at all.
Bloop.
Good.
This is switch. Not yet.
Oh.
This is Switchel.
All right.
This is the drink that got me through Fest. It is, for those that may remember.
Oh.
No, just Fest. For those that may or not remember, Switchel is a concoction of molasses, vinegar, ginger, and water. That's it.
Nice.
So I am going to let you try it as is, and then we will add the rum.
Oh, it smells amazing to me.
Yeah.
No, it smells horrifying.
It has...
That is...
It's very polarizing.
Goddamn aroma. It smells like the ye olde cough drops. What are those? Horse something.
Whorehound.
Yeah.
Whore drops.
I know all about that.
Good for a sore throat.
Depends on whose throat. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
I could drink a few of those without looking up.
Yep.
That's not as bad as I expected.
Yeah,
but
it is surprisingly not.
I'm not good with it.
All right. Do you want to just stick with the amount I gave you, or?
Yeah.
All right.
Are we putting booze in this?
We're going to fill the rest up with rum.
So,
fuck yes.
It is, as I said, this is a colonial beverage.
Right.
And
it tastes like a colonial beverage.
And oftentimes, the recipe included rum. So we are going to be putting some of that in there.
Yeah.
And actually, if you could reach the swizzle sticks.
Boy, howdy.
Ooh, swizzle sticks.
Just to mix in the booze, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, as much rum as you want. Okay. Yeah. James drove. I don't
know. All right. Mm. All right, give that a little bit of a... Mm. A swish around just to... Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, James. All right.
ASMR with Apropos of Nothing podcast.
ASMRON. Mm. Oh.
Like, I'm going to drink it, but I'm not excited by it.
Okay.
Huh.
Again, it's a polarizing drink. Yeah. I get it. I absolutely get it.
I will drink this, and then I will just have some straight rum.
This is also the mildest batch that I have made.
Yeah.
Mm. My wife found a mild molasses that we tried here. Usually the molasses is stronger.
Ugh.
But it's got the molasses, it's got the vinegar, it's got the, you know, the ginger is in there, and then you throw in the rum, and it makes for... quite the beverage.
Yeah, I'm just going to put some more rum in. So.
You know, weirdly, it reminds me of the aftertaste of sea salt black licorice.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
That might also explain Jenna's...
Possibly.
...feelings.
But, so that's what I did, is I drank this stuff all day, and then at the end of the day, I put the rum in it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. That is how I survived Fest.
No, that's a great way to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Staying hydrated. And I suppose there's probably, with the molasses, you got a little bit of energy pumping at you, too.
Yeah, it is packed with sugar, so it energizes. The vinegar
Much better with a majority of rum.
The vinegar has, you know, as it's very electrolyte-y, it'll just pump that stuff right into you.
Yeah.
The ginger keeps your stomach calm. You know, it's got potassium in there. Mm. It's got all that stuff.
I mean, I bet this is going to be great for my cramping and whatnot, but...
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
But they would.
But the rum's going to do more for it.
But they would put this into a jug and put it in a stream, and then you know the farmhand would have a cool beverage of switchel while he was in the middle of the day doing hay, whatever.
So. That sounds fucking fantastic. Yeah, weirdly, it's got like a kind of a hay bale taste to it too.
I suppose I can see that too.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no, I've been meaning to have you guys try this for a while now, and I just finally, finally had the opportunity.
And I'm glad that I got to try it, but I'm not.
And that's fine.
Going
No, absolutely. And if you don't want to finish it, you don't have to finish it.
Well, no, I put a bunch of rum in it now, so now I have to finish it.
Now that is the law.
It's going to happen. Yeah. I might just chug this. Hold
for science!
Yeah. See, I actually prefer it slightly more molasses-y than this.
I could see that. Especially with a sore throat. A bunch of molasses would be fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I even at one point made it with blackstrap, and that was a bit much for me, but there was a couple of the, like, the fondazzi that were just like, yes, put that in my mouth.
Ugh.
So. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah.
What y'all been up to?
I'm preparing for the horror festival. I'll just talk about that later.
Sure.
All right.
I'll do a whole goddamn thing on that. I'll let you guys go first.
Jenna's got another podcast where she's going to do that.
Wait a minute. I took over this one for a reason. I don't need another podcast.
Well, fair enough.
Although I have had multiple podcasts at the same time.
So, well, there we go. So, I, on Sunday, I did not
Sunday,
do a,
Sunday.
I drove the RV up to one of the northern cities, fucking fully almost 2 hours away.
Yep.
So not the northmost, but north enough. North enough where if you stop in at a restaurant, they look at you a little side-eyed if you're driving a foreign car. And, yeah, it was, it's beautiful. The land up there is fucking gorgeous. And I rode an ATV around. And, yeah, went, like, parked the RV for the winter.
Nice.
And I'm real happy that I have a spot where now I can just enjoy when it snows and maybe shovel in front of my own house and not have to worry about driving somewhere to go move a camper for plowing.
Right.
So
you winterized it?
Yes.
Which steps did you take to winterize it?
The house side ones.
My God.
So the water was already bypassed and already had the antifreeze, the human safe antifreeze in it. And so I didn't need to do that. The propane was already turned off.
Okay.
The battery under the hood I'm leaving connected because they will probably need to move the RV
occasionally
throughout the winter. Yep. And then also just making sure that all the windows and doors are shut and making sure that the wastewater tanks are emptied in appropriate places. And
all right. Because I know some people will, like, just package up any kind of cushions or things like that. Some people will put out, like, fucking mothballs or dryer sheets or whatever to
deter. Dryer sheets. Yeah.
Yeah. To deter critters of all various types and things like that. So.
Yeah.
I'm always curious what somebody's process is. Like, what do you consider winterizing?
Yeah. So. If I were going to leave it stationary, like if it was being parked for the entire winter and no one was going in it to move it, because right now it's blocking the shipping container that has the ATV and the tools and a lot of the, you know, all of that stuff for putting up the pole barn and that kind of thing. So people are still going to be visiting up until it snows.
Okay.
And they're going to need to move it in order to get into the container.
Sure.
So, I can't do all the things that I usually would do, like putting a giant tarp over the top.
Right. Yeah.
Disconnecting the battery.
Et cetera.
That kind of thing. But I missed out on doing the dryer sheets. I should have. And yeah. I probably will
sure
when I go back.
Gave him a call or something and said, hey, can you throw a couple dryer sheets in there?
Yeah. Pretty definitely. So, but yeah, the ATV is fun as fuck also. We stopped at a place on the way back. Rough Cuts has absolutely amazing chicken wings.
Okay.
Ended up stopping by Jaybird Wines also.
Oh, nice.
for mead.
Yes.
And
did you get me any?
I got some for Jax.
God damn it.
Yep.
Taking care of your spouse before me.
I know.
Fuck.
It's bullshit.
Fun bullshit.
Yeah. just had like a road trip adventure doing like fucking 5 hours of car driving and riding.
Mm.
And on the way back, of course, I was in an SUV with four friends. So we were packed in there. Real nice and tight.
So, a little cozy.
Little bit cozy, yeah. But it was good. It was a great time.
Nice.
Yeah. When we got to the restaurant, we just like popped the doors open and spilled out, and then same with Jaybird. Pretty decent time, and then grabbed some stuff to fix my laptop. But you know, whatever, because the LAN party's coming up. Saturday though.
Saturday.
Shit.
Saturday, I did not fencing booth thing with James.
That's true. Saturday, my spouse had planned an over the garden wall watching party because that's an autumnal favorite of the household, and invited a bunch of friends from the fencing booth and cottage very specifically. And
because there's only so much space in your house.
We really pushed it, too.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, it was. We know the approximate.
The walls were bulging out.
Yeah,
a little
holding
bit.
Capacity of the house at this point. But everybody had a comfy place to sit. Everybody was cozy. We had food. We made soup. Had some butternut squash soup, which was delicious.
Actually, I didn't have any.
No, that's okay.
Person. I wasn't.
You are,
hungry,
but so. Don't let that. Yeah. Don't let that stop you. You haven't so far. Don't start now. But yeah, I just had like a cozy watch party with friends, some of whom had never seen it, and we got some of the best fucking reactions.
Yeah.
But I was also helping partners watch kids upstairs.
Right.
Both Maria and Rachel had brought children. And they were hanging out upstairs, and so I watched them so that their moms could
enjoy.
Be upstairs and enjoy the
absolutely
movie. And that was pretty fun, honestly. So, yeah, had a really good time and enjoyed having just a ton of people over. It was so. Like, my heart is so full.
There's something about having your house full of people that you love, having a good time, that is just, it's warming.
Yeah. Well, and when I was upstairs watching the kids, hearing just like a burst of laughter from downstairs was always really satisfying, really good. Yeah. I'm hoping that this will become a tradition. It's been a tradition for me, and that it was a tradition for us, Jax and myself. And I'm hoping that it will be a tradition for our friend group going forward.
No. Yeah. Happened once at the Keep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Introduced a bunch of people to it.
That's where I got my introduction. I didn't even have to leave my house.
Oh, Saffron's
y'all just
reactions.
Showed up and suddenly stuff happened. It was great.
Saffron's reactions were so perfect. So perfect. Yeah. So, but yeah, had a fucking excellent time. And one benefit of having people over is that you clean your house in a way that you don't usually.
Yep.
Do you?
Yes.
I mean, think about Pi Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. So, I meant people, not us.
That's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How is that a good thing?
Oh. Then your house is clean.
Your house is clean. Yeah.
I think I got it. Gotta clean it.
Yeah, but then it's clean.
All right, we're on the same page.
We're on the same page. Mm. Absolutely.
I live here. It's clean enough.
It is.
My house is never clean enough. We were getting ready for my shindigs last weekend, or previous weekend, and there was stuff like afterwards, actually, that like I was looking around the house and I was like, ah, shit, I forgot to do that before people came over. And it's like stupid things, like fuck off. Like I didn't dust the molding bits on the doors where dust collects.
If you've got mold, then you absolutely
not
should clean.
Mold molding. You fuck face.
I don't know how sprinkling dust on it helps, but
Well, you see, I have a mold allergy and a dust allergy, so if I put dust on the mold, it just cancels each other out.
Double negative.
No, yep. makes sense. Yeah,
that does make sense.
But then if I add a third allergy in there, like hay or something, then it's just triple force.
Oh, fuck.
Then you just need to get a cat, and then it'll cancel out again.
There we go.
This is solid science.
This is, this is science, right?
That's how this works.
Fucking hell. All right. Yeah, that was my week. Other than just being a little more autistic than usual, in a way that that I've
more?
Noticed.
More?
Yeah. Yes, I know. I warned Jenna on the way over. I was like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me, but I'm a little more autistic than usual today. So,
goodness.
Yeah, it's been a week. Mm. Yeah.
Been an autistic week?
Yes.
Oh.
Exactly that.
Oh, okay. I did when I was done at your place. Actually, I wasn't done. I still really wanted to watch the rest of it, and I was like, son of a bitch. But I had to leave to go hang out with my ladies' group. There is a bonfire and roasting marshmallows and wine. And I think it's important to have a group of friends that are very specifically just like super femme. Because I'm not, and it reminds me how to do things sometimes. Huh. Like, oh yeah, I forgot about makeup. Stuff like that. It's like, oh yeah, like these things. Oh, good gossip time. Yay. I forgot about those things. Like, just those, like, more stereotypical things that you think of. But it's also just this... because of how the groups are built into all of that, you also get this complaining and affirming thing that happens where it's just like, and then this happened and you've just got like five women being like, oh man, yeah, that sucks. Fuck that person. Like all of this stuff. And it's like, oh that is kind of nice. All right. As opposed to my normal fixer friends who are like, oh, have you thought about doing this? I wasn't making direct eye contact with James when
I felt that.
I was looking in that area.
That ball had curve on it.
What Salsa, did you have something you wanted to say? No, you're good.
No, I'm just pretending not to be here right now.
As every episode.
And I think it's important to have friends that are, like, super affirming, sympathetic friends, and friends that are fixer friends. I think it's really important to have a good mix of that. But I tend to spend most of my time with my fixer friends and not as much time with my sympathetic, affirming friends as a primary start, right? And, yeah, like, every once in a while, it's like, oh, I do need affirmations sometimes. Huh. Okay.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It's very nice. So, yeah, did that. That was nice. If I start talking about the rest of my week, I will go into a horror fest thing. Okay. Do you want to?
Okay. I was at a Renaissance Festival.
Is it your last one?
This is my last one of the season.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'm all done. We got home midday today.
Jesus.
Yeah, we, well, we, you know, my wife and I, we both kind of went, what if we just called in sick on Monday? And instead of trying to drive home on Sunday night, tired, dirty, sweaty, covered in fuel and shit, what if we just...
And shit?
Did that on Monday. Yeah.
Yeah, there were horses there. And my wife is with the Fondazzi, if in case you don't know, and so the Fondazzi had got an Airbnb house.
Yeah.
And,
oh Jesus!
And so I tag along because I'm married to one of them. So I kind of rode their coattails there a little bit.
Yeah.
But they were just like, yeah, we'll just have rent the Airbnb until Monday. And then everybody can get a good night's sleep and go home on Monday. And it was a good choice.
That is a good choice.
But, yeah, no, I like Baraboo. It's a fun show. It's on the grounds of Circus World, which is just
like home.
The fucking best.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even home. It's like a pilgrimage to, a sacred space.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but getting to perform in that hippodrome is fucking awesome. And the weather was gorgeous.
Oh,
it was
like
50s and just, oh, so pleasant. So, just actually got to get out like some of the warmer clothes for the first time all run.
You didn't need them during Minnesota?
No.
At all? During the 100-degree day?
No, the crowds were good. It was rainy and wet on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But, the rain stopped before the gates opened, but it was still just kind of wet and dreary. And so the people really kind of didn't show up until afternoon on Saturday.
Hmm.
But then Sunday, they all fucking showed up.
Nice.
Sure.
It was a pleasant time. I can't really think of any specific stories to tell about that. Honestly, I showed up, I did my thing, and I left. Like I said, we had the house with the Fondazzi. It was one of the members had a birthday, and so on Sunday night we set up a karaoke machine and just had
the candle blowing out must be super weird for your group. That's for the Fondazzi.
For fire people.
I just. Assume that it's way more complicated.
No,
there's a lot more showmanship.
You don't blow it out, you just eat it.
What karaoke are you doing?
James had skipped away from karaoke and went to birthday candles.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't do a cake.
Rude.
Sorry, I was just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, karaoke candles. It's an American candles. Institution.
Really right. Confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we didn't do a birthday cake.
Wait, did you mention that you're a little bit more autistic
more
this week?
More autistic than usual, Salsa.
Look, I can understand that, but it doesn't mean I can follow you. It was a good time. We all, sang various sang various show tunes and had a good time.
And
that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And then came home today, and it was wonderful again, not having to drive home on Sunday night when it's dark and stuff like that. So my wife and I just kind of had a lovely, leisurely return home, and we stopped and had lunch somewhere, and enjoyed life a little bit. and then we got home, and we owe her sister big time for watching the kids.
I was about to say, did the kids come with, or did
the kids
stay back?
No, home here with their aunt, and because they had all the stuff to do. my daughter and my son, she had hockey and he had kung fu at the same time.
Oh.
Did your brother-in-law help?
I think he helped.
Yeah,
I don't know I don't know exactly
you don't know
how
who brought which one to where.
I don't know how that all worked out, but I know people got to where they needed to go. So, it was just like, we're gonna throw this at you. Good luck.
Did you bring them back booze?
The kids?
Yes.
Yes.
Jesus.
I mean, yes, I brought back my... Obviously, I brought back Nuglaris, but right. Because we were in Baraboo, we stopped at Driftless Glen Distillery, which is literally across the street from Circus World, because they have that that Prairie Botanical Gin that I fucking adore.
Oh, yeah.
And so I drank the last of my bottle from last year on Thursday night.
Mm-hmm. In preparation.
So it would be empty, so I would have to go get a new bottle.
I see how that works.
Yeah, that's those are definitely the rules.
Yep.
No, I'm not arguing this one. This one makes sense.
Yeah, no, it was a good time. Nice. Obviously, you can hear my voice is tired.
Yeah.
But we're done
from
now.
What?
Can't imagine why.
It's wild. Yes.
We need a hippodrome.
From karaoke.
Yep.
Mm. Absolutely from the karaoke.
Oh, I actually did. It was my turn to sing, and I was just like, well, I've been swallowing swords all day, so I'm going to pick a song in my key, and I sang 16 tons.
Yeah.
There you go. That's the way.
Yes.
Yep.
So. I was hoping for some, like, Louis Armstrong or something.
Yeah, no, I did.
Could have done that too. Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I did 16 tons, and I did King of the Road.
Oh, yes. Beautiful.
Yes, good call.
So, anyway, that was my weekend.
Yeah.
Well, aside from the things that I already talked about in the weekend, I think I am going to talk about the thing that I talked about with you in the car.
Okay, yeah.
So, Sunday, I went to go grocery shopping with my brother, which I do various Sunday afternoons.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some stuff in my car that I needed to get out because after grocery shopping, I was gonna get a bunch of stuff moved out of the storage for the Twin Cities Horror Festival and get it to the venue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And before I left, I was like, I should really empty the rest of my fest stuff out. It wasn't a lot, but it still needed to get out. And I was like, yeah. I should do that before I leave. And then, like, it was just such a nice, quiet, peaceful day. I was like, nah, I can do that afterwards. So I did the shopping with my brother. I made a pit stop at a friend's place for some stuff that I needed. And I got back home, or at least I tried to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
I came down Lindale, and as I got closer and closer to Lynn Lake, it was getting busier. And I was like, oh, I wonder what the heck's going on. Like, is there a fair or something happening?
You rear-end Tim again.
Tim rear-ended me, first of all.
Yeah.
I did not get into an accident. But I was like, okay, well, this is probably just something on Lake. So once I get past Lake, it'll be fine. And I'll just turn on 31st so I can whip around. And I went to turn on 31st. And there was a little bit of a blockade kind of thing and a person saying, nope, you can't go this way. And I went, and I looked down the street a little bit and there was a whole fuck ton of people over at Bryant Square, which is a block away from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Stalkers, you're welcome. And, so I was like, oh shit. Well, guess I'm not going that way. So I went down to 32nd and tried to get over to my house. There was no street parking. Everybody had parked along the side roads for this shindig, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help that it looked like they were doing this in the parking lot of Bryant Square. So, like, yeah. But it was a Palestinian demonstration.
Yeah.
A bunch of people gathering to talk out their feelings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I got no problems with that. You got feelings you need talking about. This is America. That's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very inconvenient for me because I still had stuff in my car that I needed to get out of my car, and I couldn't get to my house to get the stuff out of my car. And I was like, I wonder how far down all of this parking is. And I went about 6 blocks.
Oh, jeez.
And was like, holy shit. I ended up driving past B-Dubs, where Joe works, like 6 blocks away from our house.
Yeah.
And
stalkers,
I finally,
you're welcome.
Yep.
Huh?
Stalkers, you're welcome.
Yeah,
now they absolutely can triangulate.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I basically, like, I looped around and I got back to my house and I was like, I just need to unload my shit. I'm going to pull into my neighbor's driveway. If they're there, I'm going to be like, hey, buddy, can I please? And if they're not, I'm just going to put on my blinkers, get stuff unloaded, and figure out what I'm doing with my car from there, right? Because I have to get the stuff out of the back. So I pull into the driveway. I got a message from Joe being like, hey, did you drive by my work? And I was like, yes, yes, I did. Because one of the thoughts I had was, well, maybe I just hang out at B-Dubs for a little bit.
Wait for this to blow over.
And wait for this to blow over a bit. And but there was no parking there either.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I basically, I was like, yep, that was me. Leave your car in the parking ramp. Because Joe works at B-Dubs is next to a parking ramp, and they have parking pass things for work. So I was like, leave your car there. You cannot get it closer to home than where it is already.
Yeah.
And I unloaded the car quick, and I get back in the car, and Joe was like, want to meet at Marcy's? And I was like, maybe. Try that. Maybe there's parking on Lake. The pay parking, right? Like, mm-hmm. maybe people are all parking on the free street,
the free
parking
stuff, yeah.
And there will be a parking spot in front of Morrissey's.
Mm-hmm.
So I go down the street to get to Morrissey's. And there are a bunch of people marching along Lake Street with flags and chants and all of the rest of that. And I was like, oh shit. I can't even get onto Lake right now. So that was exciting. I basically sat there for 10 minutes and I was like, I don't go to Morrissey's. I'll explain it later. And finally, they did have a person there that was helping move traffic around. And so I managed to eventually, after about 10 minutes of sitting there, get into the area and then be able to loop back around. And I just went back to B-Dubs and parked, like, in the ramp, next to the ramp.
Yeah.
There was a parking spot next to the ramp. I was like, oh, I'll take that. I think it was a permit only, but I don't think anybody was really checking at that point. Because it was fucking chaos.
Sure. The cops have other things on their mind.
Right. Hopefully they have other things they're paying attention to, right? So, yeah, these people had marched from the square down Lake Street. They followed Lagoon. There's that weird split.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they followed Lagoon. And I had sent Joe a message being like, hey, there's, you know, I don't go to Morrissey's. There's people marching. They're headed down Lake Street. But because B-Dubs is on the other side of that split, he didn't see anybody. And he was like, what are you talking about?
Oh.
So, like, I get pulled up. Joe's like, I just finished work. Let's go to Morrissey's. And I was like, no, let's not. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I was like,
it is a silly place.
And by this point, people had met at, so they got to Lagoon and then, they marched down Lagoon to Hennepin and went down a block so that they were at Hennepin Lake. And having a little mini rally there before they marched their way back down Lake. Yeah, at this point, Joe poked his head and was like, oh, well, there's people there. I'm just like, yes, there's people there.
That is what I have been saying.
He's like, I just didn't understand how big a deal this was as we're watching people just streaming down Lake Street.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were starting to head down Lake Street back to Bryant Square when he finished.
Gotcha.
So it was like, he just hadn't seen anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we...
But he saw your car go by.
Well, that was before the marching.
No, I know.
Got just like, so, yeah, he saw that.
Staring out the window.
But, yeah, there was nothing for him to see on the street aside from my vehicle until after he got done with work.
Yep.
So, yeah, I was like, we can't go home. It would be great if we could go home.
Yeah.
We can't. There's nowhere to park. I was like, you want to walk to Morrissey's? I'm like, no, I don't want to follow this down to Morrissey's.
He's really got this, look, this we, stuck on that.
Morrissey's is kind of like our spot.
No, yeah, right? I get it. It's but great. It was just like, after the third time, just let it go, man.
I was like, I would rather go to a bar over here near mm-hmm. my car because mm-hmm. I need to get back into my car eventually so that I can go load up for the horror fest.
Right.
So, yeah. So we went to what is now Seven Points, previously known as Calhoun Square. And we were like, there's got to be something open there. We were hoping to hit the Arts and Rec stuff and hit the rooftop. Because then we could, like, look over everything, maybe get some cool video, something like that.
Yeah.
Arts and Rec was closed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they got a memo or something.
Hmm.
But, yeah, they were closed. I was like, well, son of a bitch. So we wandered through the vast emptiness that is Seven Points. It is empty. There are three things that exist in Seven Points right now. Like, well, technically four, because there's, like, a little skating thing. A skate park type deal.
Wild.
Right? But that wasn't open either.
Mm-hmm.
Our options were to get drinks at Rote OSHA or exercise at LA Fitness. and I have a membership, so that was actually a thing we could have done. I'm like, well, they got a sauna. I didn't bring a change of clothes or anything, but... Just
go naked.
I've seen people... I didn't have a towel or anything to put down. Like, Plus, there's a girl's one and a guy's one, and I really wanted to hang out with my boyfriend.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, yeah. Instead, we went to Rote OSHA, where I can't eat anything because it's Thai food.
Yeah.
But I could drink, so I did.
They have peanut... Oh, wait. Coconut.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
They offered me a pineapple drink. I was like, nope, sorry, buddy.
I was going to say, you just need one more thing for the trifecta. Oh, yep, there it is. All right.
Yep. I think they had now banana stuff. But yeah, so we got
a beer?
Drinks. So yeah, a couple of drinks, and I explained to him exactly how much was going on because there was no way I could text that to him.
Right.
So yeah. So that, and we just hung out and kind of decompressed after me driving around for an hour because I can't go home.
Jesus.
And then, yeah, after that, I actually dropped Joe off at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then went to go do my horror fest. Loading and unloading into the venue and all of that. And that part worked fine.
Sure. It's because everybody else was at Lake Street.
Well, yeah. And I got home, and there was parking on my street, so it wasn't directly in front of my house, but whatever. I can get over it. So, yeah, that was my...
That's big excitement.
Weird, chaotic Sunday.
Yeah.
So, do you know what they were marching about, or...?
It's the Israeli-Palestinian...
Oh, okay.
...conflict.
Gotcha.
And... The very short story on that is that the entire thing is a clusterfuck, and everybody's right and nobody's right all at the same time.
Yeah, no, I'm staying out of that.
Right. Like, there's some people that are extremists on both sides that are making things way the fuck worse.
Yeah,
the whole situation was British declaration shit to begin with that shouldn't have happened, and then the UN got involved. Bill Clinton actually did the best job he could, but like, yeah. The whole thing is just a goddamn clusterfuck.
Nah, not something that I want to.
But because of the recent things that have happened in the news.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah,
things heating up again.
It was,
that's what that was about.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just people marching in Minneapolis for something. going
that,
on.
That
in the
never
Middle
happens
East.
Around here. I actually, honestly, I love that that is a thing that people do in Minneapolis.
Definitely. Same. Definitely.
Like,
yeah.
I just, man, the fact that we make space for people to say their piece.
Definitely.
Except for Nazis that we punch.
Yes.
Like, that's basically. 100%. Yeah.
No, you said people.
Yeah,
not
okay.
Nazis.
That's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, like I the only issues I really had was I just want to go home.
Yeah.
I was gonna sit for a couple of hours and then do things again, and I got to do none of that.
Mm.
Wine, gripe, wine.
Do you want to take a break now?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, yeah. Let's do that so Jenna can get off her feet a little bit.
Off my feet?
Just take a load off. Hang out.
Take
chill.
A load for free.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Should we do a thing?
Okay.
Oh, my God. Somebody at some point is going to confuse us for NPR, and that's going to be entirely on you.
Greetings, Apropossy!
Oh, my God. Yeah. No, that's scary.
Too far? Too far?
Too much.
Too far?
No.
All right.
Yeah, you went from NPR to morning crank calls with...
Ezra and the douche.
Bobbo and the fudge.
Ew.
I don't know.
And what we is... are back. It's... This is the AON podcast. I am Salsa.
With your hosts.
Meet your hosts.
No, God damn it.
With perfectly normal Americans.
Perfectly normal American salsa.
Yes. I'm from America.
I mean, you're kind of doing an American accent right now.
You're kind of doing an American right now. What?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's...
Oh.
It's because I'm an American.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Fourth of July and apple pie.
I'm Salsa.
Oh, I'm James.
And I'm Jenna, motherfuckers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys.
Hey, Dr. Nick. I guess.
Yes.
No, I just told you I'm Jenna motherfuckers. God damn it. Pay attention. So there's a thing coming up.
On behalf of myself, James, and Jenna motherfuckers.
Yes.
Keep your stick on the ice.
I eat the motherfuckers cake. Oh, don't eat my cake. That'd be sad.
That one's the special gluten-free, dairy-free,
nobody wants
sugar-free.
That.
Anyway, Jenna, you were Jenna motherfucker. You were saying.
Thank you. I appreciate it when you use my full title.
Yes. Not singular, plural. Jenna motherfuckers.
Yes.
PMP.
CSM.
PMP.
Time wizard.
Yes.
Okay, so there's a thing coming up this week. You may have heard me talk about it in the past, and I'm going to talk about it some more now. Starting this Thursday, the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Oh, never heard of it.
Oh, fuck off. It's a Klingon thing.
Oh.
No, so Twin Cities Horror Festival is the longest running live theater horror festival in the United States.
Horror.
Possibly the world.
Horror.
We don't know.
Horror.
So we start this Thursday. We're going to go for 11 days. We have 11 producers doing 5 shows each. Do the math.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's actually pretty easy to figure out. It's 55. Five times 11.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
See?
Yeah.
So
there's 2 in the hall.
Right.
1 at the door.
So. Yes. 1 plus 2 plus 1 plus
telegram. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, I am going to talk about that. It'll be fun. Right. We have 11 different shows, and I want to give you all just a little bit of a taste of everything that we have available.
All right.
Salsa's dying over here. He's like, the festival opens, and I'm just reading it straight from the list of what we have, so I'm not going to tell you what's playing, where specific, but the Winding Sheet Outfit.
Hot damn.
Local favorite in the historical horror genre.
Fuck yes.
Marie-Jeanne Vallée, who defeated La Bête du Gévaudan. Sean Pertre is having a nervous breakdown right now.
The Beast of Gévaudan.
France, 1764. Something is hunting the villagers, and in Gévaudan. It is just one of the many woes they face, on top of poverty and hunger and the negligence of their king. One man thinks he knows how to capture the threat, but it is the actions of one village girl that bring down both beast and man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Shit.
I'm very excited for that. And it is based on, like I said, everything Winding Sheet Outfit does is based on historical horror-esque things. Man. Their Bathory one was
incredible.
Blood Nocturne. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Yeah. They do some fantastic stuff based around historical
Sisters
stuff.
Fox is still one of the best Fringe things I've ever seen in my life.
So good.
Holy fuck.
If you've ever seen Brotherhood of the Wolf, that's about the Beast of Gévaudan, and I am actually
I love that movie.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad you guys... I'd never actually heard about it before this.
That's
so
a movie I should watch that this month.
At the Twin Cities Horror Festival?
Yeah, too.
Okay. I feel like that's what I'm focused on right now for reasons.
Weird, as you should be, yes.
So, yeah, so that one's playing. We also have the Rachel Teagle Effect. If you haven't heard of Rachel Teagle, she is a national treasure. She is a storyteller and a playwright of a decent amount of renown. And just an all-around nice fucking person. I adore her. So the Rachel Teagle Effect is producing Girls in Bins. A high-risk pregnancy and a cross-country move have left Ruth even more anxious than usual. Trapped in her house with nothing to do but listen to true crime podcasts, Ruth is startled to discover a case that hits a bit too close to home. Will she be able to untangle herself from her own nightmares? This can't be good for the baby. What? Yes, please. And I love this one because it plays off of the trope that, you know, women relax to true crime podcasts.
Informative murder podcast.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I love that. And they did a preview, during the fundraiser that was incredible. High recommend for that one. Next up. Absolute darling of the festival, Dangerous Productions.
Oh, yes.
Presents Choices. John and Greg buy a cabin to escape the pandemic, risking it all for a dream. When a group of old friends show up for a birthday surprise, it becomes very clear that the dream has become a nightmare. Trapped by darkness inside and out, the lines of reality and terror begin to blur. With bloody results. If for some reason you've never seen a Dangerous Productions show, there will be blood.
Yeah.
There will be gore. Yeah. And it will be terrifying.
Bring a Gallagher-style poncho.
they are always good for some proper gore effects.
Yes.
I think we... some of us were talking about, like, favorite special effects that we've seen. And a content warning, just space out for a second, if gore is not your thing. But basically, there was one in which somebody ripped off their own flesh.
Yep.
And the effect was incredible. So yeah, they always do some fantastic work. And definitely want to see that. Next up, Wizard Wax Productions, which is an unknown to me, but I've heard they've done some great stuff. And I think they've done some good fringe work, actually. I think that's where they've gotten some of their background. But it's called Lock-In. Gabrielle, a trans Latinx... wow, I can barely read. Latinx pastor is new to Bethel Lutheran Church. In his quest to unlock a century-old mystery, he invites back the 1985 youth group for an adult lock-in. What horrors await Allison, Gray, Jesse, Anthony, Beau, Blair, and Mitchell when they're trapped inside the church with no key? I do want to give an extra shout out to this one. My friend Mahmoud Hakima is in this one.
Hell yes.
And some other people that I know and adore are in this one too. But they were looking for a violence person, and Mahmoud was like, "Hey, Jenna," and I was like, "I just don't think I could do this justice with the amount of time I have on my head right now."
Yeah, understandable.
So yeah. I think that's going to be absolutely fantastic. And may have some political commentary to it. I'm uncertain. Then we have Mischief Tales with The Hand That Washed Ashore. Ooh. I am so excited for this one, and I think you'll know why in a second. Following an unusual storm that threatens their livelihood, a construction crew must clean up a tourist island on Lake Superior. But their plans are delayed when a vengeful, disembodied hand is discovered among the debris. As the hand strangles its way to power, the team must overcome their differences to defeat the evil entity and save their necks. I am so, so delighted by this description.
I
mean, number one, I love Lake Superior, so you've picked the setting that I love. But just a disembodied hand of a running around? I don't know what you call it.
Doing the thing scurry?
Doing the thing scurry.
Trotting.
I really want to see how they handle the effects in this one.
Scampering.
Right? Scampering. I like scampering. That's a good one. Yeah.
I will allow it.
So, yeah, there's that one. I hope it's both horrifying and just a little bit silly. That's what I'm looking for in
that one.
Next up, Four Humors is returning to the Horror Festival. I'm so excited. A little bit of background on Four Humors. They are the theater company that started the Horror Festival.
Rad.
Before they changed it over into a... non-profit run entity. So, Four Humors is back, and they are doing a show called Rasputin. Moscow, December 30, 1916. The Great War is raging. The proletariat is rising, and one mystic mad monk, the Tsar and Tsarina's advisor, is lying shot, stabbed, beaten, drowned, frozen, and dead by the river. Or is he? Four Humors presents Rasputin, a bloody and hilarious investigation of all three true versions of Rasputin's gruesome death and the uncertain fate of Mother Russia. I'm really excited for this one. The person that they have playing Rasputin has been growing out his facial hair and is really looking the part right now. Although Rasputin was apparently had a very scarred up face and this guy doesn't, so... A prettier version of Rasputin.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Rasputin had a very emaciated look to him.
So yeah. Little prettier for him, but you know, so it goes. Next up we have Songversations, which is Shannon Custer and Oh, God, I can't remember her name. It's so bad. I think it's Rachel something. But it is a music duo with Shannon Custer, who is well-known and incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Songversation, We Have Been Told We Will Burn. Songversations is a two-woman show that uses music, film, imagery, storytelling, and a scene to explode an idea, a theme, or as we put it, something that we have been told. Songversations could be called a cabaret if a cabaret moved and breathed like a ceremony and felt like a ritual.
Hmm.
For us, witches are the living, breathing symbol of the dominion that we should all have over our bodies. And saying that out loud continues to be a dangerous thing. And so we dissent, we resist, and we risk being burned.
Hmm.
So that one is going to have much more of a... I think it's going to have more of like a femme empowerment thing.
Sure.
But definitely playing off of the themes of how horror has been explored within within the patriarchy and things like that. So, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. lots of singing. So, you know, that'll be fun too. Then we have by Snicked Bamp Thwipped. that's Tim Wick's group.
Mm-hmm.
Ghost in the Machine. Artificial intelligence, true artificial intelligence, is impossible. You can't create a computer that thinks like a human brain. But what if the computer had a human brain? And what if the human wanted their brain back? That's it.
Hmm.
And so here's the thing. Tim Wick is known for doing pop culture comedy type things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This one is not... this is an actual horror. Like, Tim is definitely exploring this side of his writing
horror
abilities.
As opposed to comedy horror.
I mean, there will probably be some comedy in it, but yeah. So I'm very excited to see what happens with that one. We also have Kin, produced by Special When Lit.
Mm.
Another Fringe favorite.
Holy shit.
Newlyweds Mona and Rory are celebrating New Year's Eve at a secluded cabin within the North Woods of Minnesota. There's a full moon, and the wolves are howling. It's a night devoted to change, to releasing the past and embracing the future. But are we truly able to shed our skin and begin again? I think that one's definitely going to have emotional and psychological behind it.
Yeah.
That tends to be their MO, and they always do it so fucking well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Couple more. We've got Overtone by Spiral Theater. And I think they're a newer group, too. Newer to the scene, so.
Mm-hmm.
Tells the story of Scotland's infamous dog suicide bridge, from whose heights dogs have inexplicably leapt to their deaths. When the town dog is the latest victim, the townsfolk scramble to find answer. This horror comedy explores our need to search for meaning in the unexplainable and our terrible realizations when we do not find it.
Hmm.
And then finally, we have by Hot Chocolate Media.
I've heard of them.
Once or twice. We have Shadows Under Wabasha. It's 1920 St. Paul. It was an easy heist, a simple score for this crew. One mistake, and they are trapped in a cave that was supposed to be their hideout. Four gang members must work together before their place of refuge becomes their tomb. Will they find honor among thieves in their salvation? Or will their baser instincts compel them to something sinister? A tale of betrayal, paranoia, survival, and fractured alliances? Or will they succumb to the shadows that lurk in the Wabasha caves? I'm also excited for this one. Number one, I want to see what Hot Chocolate Media can do with this kind of a more horror base.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of a theme for some of these groups. They're really stretching their wings and doing something different this time around. And I'm super excited for people to use our festival to explore their horror side. It's like, yes, we will convert you all. But yeah, like all of these shows, all of them sound amazing to me. The previews for all of them were fantastic. People have asked me, do you have a favorite or a must-see? And honestly, all of it, like, I don't think anything in this is going to be bad. I think everything is just going to be stunning and spectacular, and I am so fucking excited for our festival, which starts in just a few days.
Dun, dun, shit. Dun.
So, yeah, go to tchorrorfestival.com. We'll provide a link. You can get tickets. You can reserve tickets ahead of time. And I definitely recommend doing that for our studio shows. Yeah. That would be lock-in and... Shadows Under Wabasha. Those are our two studio shows. Mm-hmm. They only have 40 seats.
Jeez.
They will sell out. That's just the nature of having the smaller venue. So go get that. We also have the Five Frights Pass. That's the one I got. Yeah. Good job, buddy. Glad to see you're on top of this. But yeah, so you can buy five tickets. It's like a punch card kind of thing. But it's a little bit of a discount if you do it in packs of fives. So yeah, we are out of all of our skeleton key passes, so
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. It's
a terrible problem to have.
Yeah, I know. I hate it when we run out of all of our VIP passes, like right the fuck away.
Success.
But yeah, and there will be other things happening during the festival. There will be, tarot. I think we've got runes. I think we've got, animal fortunes, if I understand it right.
Oh.
So yeah, we've got a few things like that.
It's like a fortune cookie, but you got to crack open an animal to get to them.
Oh, there you go.
Oh.
It's a horror fest, James. Just go with it.
The little, like, lucky numbers are printed on their intestines. I'm
sad in my insides.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to the horror genre.
Yeah.
There will be merch. We have a couple of vendors this year. We have the affectionately known Leggings Lady will be back. Selling her horror-themed and spooky-themed leggings, dresses, and various merch of that kind. We also have, Chaos Chaos and Kirk? Is that
Yes,
it?
All okay. Star Trek themed.
I mean, there is some Star Trek themed stuff.
Really, actually, they drop there is. It. Yeah,
I know, Chaos and Kirk. Yeah. James might know the person behind that one.
Biblically.
Spouse? What?
Right.
But yeah, so they will also have some stuff available.
All right.
We will, as always, have artist merch, which I always recommend people buy artist merch because for some of them, especially the ones that tour, that is pretty much how they continue to be able to do this stuff.
Yep.
And Twin Cities Horror Festival will have our merch and concessions as well. So, yeah, come on down for a couple of shows. Come on down for one and then accidentally stay for the rest of the night. That's my personal favorite. Show up for all of them.
Yeah.
Show up for all 55 shows. See each show five times. It'll be great.
Do it.
But, yeah, we start this Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Crane Theater.
It's a great venue.
It works really well.
It's so good.
It works so well for what we need. Uh-huh. So,
what's the URL for that?
TCHorrorFestival.com.
All right. We will also be posting that in the show notes. So, yeah, definitely check that out. Sounds like there's going to be some cool, cool stuff going on.
Hell yeah.
I mean, as always.
Yeah.
There are no shocked faces here.
Well, and everybody's been working so hard. The producers have been working hard. My staff has been working hard. Duck is the executive director. Nyssa is the artistic director. We've got Jenny is our lead tech. We have Shane at Box Office. We've got Destiny and Chris Rodriguez as the marketing team. Aww. Chris nice. Did all of the artwork.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God. It's adorable and horribly just fantastic. It's so good. It's so good. Yeah.
No, that is the one thing that I hear.
Fantastic.
Sorry about that.
No, that's it.
That is the one thing that I do hear perennially is just how good this festival is year after year after year. It's not
some of my favorite shows have been in it.
Yeah, you don't have those like off years. It's just every year's good.
Every year's fantastic.
So anything else before we take a break? Nope. All right, cool. We're gonna take a break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at AONpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at AONpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@AONpodcast.com.
Fine. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
It's fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
We're fine.
Is it okay if I put myself
We're fine, James. It's fine.
It's fine?
It's fine.
It's fine.
We're fine. It's fine. And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fest Fine.
Fest Five.
Today's Fest Five.
All right.
Nope, nobody, apparently nobody caught it.
No, I missed it entirely.
Right. Okay. I said Fest Fine.
Oh.
And,
I don't listen to you.
Whatever.
Look.
Today's Fest Five comes to us from... ...255 Shades of Blue.
Oh.
Ooh.
Just fucking with y'all. You know it's a me gray.
Yeah.
Yay! Yay, gray!
Opening thoughts. James.
Oh.
And only James.
Oh.
I love you, and I'm glad you're here.
Aw.
Yeah, that checks out.
Yeah, mutual.
Yeah.
That's games.
Seems likely.
Question number one. Worse.
Oh.
Or worst.
Worse or worst.
Worst. Go worst. Go all out.
I think Salsa is the literal worst.
Yep, it's true.
Oh, yeah?
How is worst spelt?
Oh, good question. W-O-R-S-T.
Okay. That's an excellent question.
Salsa is the literal worst and also the metaphorical worst.
Worst. I am the worst because I'm the best at it.
In series of jokes where people are just like stacking shit, you know, like firewood onto the joke. With bonfire jokes, do you aim to just make it a little bit worse, or do you like to be the person that fucking lights it? Do you like to be the person that throws in the thing that makes everyone go, oh, never mind?
And actually, that depends on my mood entirely.
Yeah, I know which one you're going with, James.
Well, just a little bit.
That is the man's MO.
If it's keeping people occupied, I'll throw a little bit of fuel on there.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure.
Like people keep going. I actually like for puns. That's one of the reasons why I react as loudly as I do is because it just fuels everybody.
Antagonizes
else.
Them.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Don't be a coward. Go worst.
Mm.
All right. I mean, I'm sticking by Salsa's the literal worst.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Christmas or Halloween?
Halloween. This is Halloween.
Christmas.
This is Halloween.
Which one do you celebrate more with movies? Like, do you watch more Christmas movies around Christmas, or do you watch more Halloween, like spooky shit around Halloween?
My favorite Christmas movie is Gremlins, so...
which is a spookier movie. So I feel like that tips the scales.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. I used to love Christmas.
Yeah.
And there was an incident that just kind of fucked Christmas over for me.
That's fair.
I get that.
So yeah, now I've shifted over into the much more morbid and spooktacular.
Of all of the bullshit surrounding the holiday, which is more annoying?
Definitely Christmas. Like, and I am a person who loves Christmas. I am a person who loves watching Christmas movies. I am a person who loves the tradition of wrapping gifts and giving them to people. I love it. And plus, there's usually snow, and it's great. I love it. But also,
This could be a decorations thing too.
Halloween. I
have more Christmas decorations right now.
Okay.
But I think I want more Halloween decorations.
Here we go. Would you rather have strangers knocking on your door asking for treats or singing you carols?
Treats. 100. Kids are adorable. In their costumes?
Yeah.
And shit, that's fucking cute. That's
like, good job, buddy. Yeah.
That's so cute.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Halloween. That's shit, that's good context.
Although now I have an idea of a skeleton Victorian caroler thing for Halloween that I want to do at some point.
Oh, that's really good.
Right?
Yeah.
Just like...
Dead King Wenceslas...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the Feast of Stephen, they ate Stephen.
That's pretty good.
Yes.
You have your show for next year's horror festival. I don't know. I don't like either of them. I'm going to go Christmas.
Halloween, 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 Halloween.
All right, question number three.
Nice.
Fixture or switch? I have replaced many light fixtures.
Okay.
And a few light switches, I guess, for that matter. But I feel like
I'm a light switch.
A light fixture. You have a...
God damn it.
I'm sorry, Salsa, go on.
Are you really a switch, or are you just a dom that's tired?
Fuck.
Existential crisis. That's the reason for the season.
God damn it, all of the above. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, right. Salsa, sorry. And a few light switches.
Yeah, I've replaced a few light switches, but I find that light
just stood in for them. Or?
Light fixtures are a lot easier to do. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. Wait, if you stand in for a light switch, are you subbing?
God damn it! Sex jokes. Salsa, you look confused or concerned, and I'm not sure which it is. It could be all of the above, actually.
I don't know what the fuck's going on. You're having a good time.
I'll tell
though,
you when you're older.
You're having a good time, so I won't stop you, though.
All right. That's... Subbing. Fucking asshole. What was the question?
Switch or fixture?
Okay.
No. It was fixture or switch.
Would you rather turn the lights on at the wall or at the lamp?
Oh, I hate those. Like, give me a fucking light switch.
I actually just talk into the air and then my lights go on and it's glorious.
Yeah, you don't even have a home assistant. You're just that powerful of a project really manager. Am.
Yeah, all of my light bulbs know, man. You just, yeah, you just
spreadsheet.
Fucking do it.
When can I expect the light to arrive?
Yes. Absolutely, yes.
Good. All right.
I guess... No, I'm going to say switch. For a variety of reasons.
Say fixture. Like, especially for a bedside lamp. Being able to turn that on and off at the lamp without having to get the fuck up and...
Yeah.
Go switch it off. Of the, like, God, that would be the worst. All right. Yeah.
What would be the worst?
Bedside lamp if you had to get up to turn a switch or flip a switch to turn it off.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, that would be the most obnoxious design.
Okay.
Okay.
Question number four, cast iron or air fryer?
Wow. Cast iron. Cast iron. My God, cast iron.
Good catch.
Clearly cast iron.
Yeah.
Cast
iron or what?
Air fryer.
Cast iron. I don't
know. Cast iron. Yeah, you can put it on a campfire. Last time I put an air fryer on the campfire, it ended badly.
Well, it's because it was full of air.
Did it?
Just oxygen.
End badly? Or did it end awesome?
No. Not like when I tossed a mostly empty can of spray cheese onto the fire.
Also awesome.
That was pretty awesome, actually. In many different ways that that word is used.
I'm not going to tell Joe's stories because somebody will try it.
You ever seen a fire extinguisher in a fire? I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that doesn't cancel itself out?
It's not allergies, Jenna.
Oh my God, that was actually a really good callback. Well done.
If you never met Mephisto.
I've met Mephisto.
He was a crazy motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. So yeah, cast iron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Question number...
Five.
Ramen or mac and cheese?
Oh, God.
Which one do you like fancying up more?
I mean...
I think up until 15 or 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, I would have said mac and cheese, but I think I've become a ramen convert.
Yeah.
Like, I liked ramen back then, too, but mac and cheese was still, like, my jam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think now mac and cheese just doesn't do it as much for me anymore.
Yeah. Allergies aside...
Yeah, allergies aside, because I do have dairy-free mac and cheese. Dairy-free, gluten-free mac and cheese.
It's just an empty box.
Yep. So, what can I eat from mac and cheese?
It's
nothing.
Full of ice cubes and hope.
It's a wish sandwich.
I was about to say fond wishes.
Yep.
No, kind wishes and fond memories. That's
it's just a little recording.
Hopes and prayers.
It's just a little recording thoughts, that says, "Aw." Yeah.
Like one of those greeting cards.
Yeah,
that you
yeah, open. Just like, "Aw."
Anyway, no, there are allergy-free both of those that I can have.
Mm-hmm.
And the mac and cheese is actually pretty damn decent. More than it has any right to be. You have to get the noodles out at just the right time, though, or they just become instant smush.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. There's something about ramen that was... It's almost kind of like a nostalgic comfort food for me.
Ah, yeah.
And especially like, man, if you want to talk about poverty foods and things that you just needed to sit in your stomach for a while,
mm-hmm.
ramen and rice.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you would make ramen with a certain amount of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would use instant rice to soak up the rest of that water. You wouldn't make rice. You would make instant rice. So you would just finish making the ramen, dump in the appropriate amount of instant rice, cover it up for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just had for, I calculated this once because it was important, for 17 cents, you could fill your stomach for like 2 days.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Ramen's fucking expensive now.
It has gotten pricier. Yeah.
It used to be like, what, 29 cents a pack or something like that?
You could get it for 10 cents a pack.
But I mean, it was just like...
Maro-chan, if you bought the flat, you would get it for 10 cents.
Yeah, for a flat. Yep. Yeah, but I'm just saying, even individually, it was like
12, 13 cents. Yeah,
it was ridiculously cheap. So yeah, that definitely got through college on that stuff.
Oh, yes.
And there is, like I said, like it's just a weird nostalgic thing for me now. Sometimes I just like to eat it and be like, my tummy's full.
When I got home on the bus, I would always make ramen and as an after-school snack. Yeah.
See, Raider Lee hates ramen for exactly that reason.
Right. Like, I can absolutely see it going.
But I mean, like, she was just like, I am an adult and I have income and we are comfortable and I can afford other things, and so I am not eating that.
Mm. Right. No, absolutely fair. And like, in general, I don't, but every once in a while, man, I'm just like,
I could see that. I want to try making ramen and rice. I just bought packet ramen, so
some minute rice.
Yeah.
Make sure to add just a little bit more water than you think you need because of the steam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, no, like I'll do ramen for lunch when I'm working from home.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do, you know, I'll soft boil an egg, and I'll put in some green
Jax
onions,
has the knack for that.
And I'll fry up some spam, and I'll do the whole nine yards of really gussying up that ramen.
I should put sliced fried spam in with my ramen.
Yeah, it's that's what I do. I know. And you
know,
they're really cute. You can get like a half can of spam.
That is cute.
It's like regular spam, but the can is only half tall. And they're really cute, and it's perfect for
I could see that
one day. You'll crack that open, slice that up, and fry it on the skillet, and then slip that into your ramen bowl.
The days when I would eat an entire can of spam in a sitting are done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This little half can is perfect for a ramen.
Yeah, I should look for those. So, do you get them at like Cub?
I don't. I think that's where you got them. But
okay.
Anyway. So that is that. We're going to find out worse or worst.
Okay.
Yeah.
For which does one take a turn? For the worse or for the worst?
For the worse.
For the worse.
Yeah, a turn for the worse. I believe.
Is that
it? When you take a turn for the worst, you're done turning.
Yes.
Like, there is nowhere else.
I've never heard that phrase before. Yeah.
A turn for the
You take a work.
A turn for the worse? You've never heard?
No, a turn, for the worst. A turn for the worst. I've never heard that.
Same.
I think it is the former, not the latter, but I think people say the latter.
Really?
In the same way that they say from the get-go instead of from the get-go. Or nip it in the butt instead of nip it in the bud.
Who the hell is saying these things?
Lots of people.
I do like the idea of a gecko.
Yeah.
There's a whole
fucking list of
things. Yeah, there is an actual list of these things where it's the misheard reinterpretations.
Tender hooks instead of tenter hooks. Or,
what the hell is a tender hook?
No, I know, but also...
Is nobody listening to themselves when they say...
Lots of people don't know what tenter hooks are either, so they...
It makes more sense than a tender hook.
It reminds me of a Friends episode where Joey said it's a moo point.
Yes.
And they're like, you mean moot point? No, it's a moo point. Like a cow's opinion. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't like, that makes sense, but I don't want it to make sense.
Did Joey just make sense?
That's still not okay. Like, yeah.
No, it's worse.
Yeah, it's worse.
Yeah.
All right.
I think, yeah. Oh.
Okay. Yep. Question number two, Christmas or Halloween, which major holiday encroaches earlier and earlier every year? Both.
Yes.
Both.
Both.
All of the above.
Both.
I like that Halloween is creeping forward.
I mean,
I'm pissed off about it. I'm so angry.
It makes it easier for me to buy stuff for Horror Fest.
Like, the last day of festival came out, and my wife was, like, shopping, and she was like, oh, I got this thing. I was like, and she's like, it's October. It's Halloween season. I'm like, fuck you. No. No.
Huh.
It's
even
fest season.
Properly in October?
You're not okay with Halloween stuff in October?
No, fuck that. It's at the end of October.
I want that shit in September.
It is
How
not...
How are you going to decorate
Halloween
your
is
yard?
A day. It is not that. A month. You can't just say at the beginning of the month.
No,
it's a month.
Okay, yeah. Then I really wish that it was fucking November 1st, because then it could be the fucking beginning of the month, and we could just be done with it. No, it doesn't get
I mean,
month.
I don't take
it
down my 12-foot skeleton all year, so...
bullshit. Sorry, I'm ranting again. I'm sorry.
You are being a bit ranty. But, like, no, like...
I'm tired.
It's kind of like... Here's the thing. Like, Christmas decorations...
Yeah.
...coming out right after Halloween... That one kind of bothers me.
Yeah, same.
Like, I get the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that seems like an appropriate time for it to happen.
It does.
Right? You got your Black Friday madness. You just prepare all of your Christmas stuff to be ready for that and go.
Well, and, like, it seems appropriate because traditionally you have the parade and Santa arrives at the end of the Thanksgiving Day parade. And for a lot of people, that signals the beginning of
your
Christmas
season.
Yeah.
But you're doing your decorating, you're doing whatever. And I fucking love houses up in lights, especially along the lakes.
Same. Oh,
driving along the lakes with the houses. Oh, fuck, that's pretty, because you get the neat little reflections off of the lake, and it's fun. And
if you can't do your preparations in 2 weeks, what the fuck are you doing?
Two things. First thing, Advent, long period of time. There was a... So,
Advent calendars.
What is that?
You don't know what an Advent calendar is?
I know what an Advent calendar is. What does that have to do with anything?
So that's like a preparing for counting down to Christmas. It's almost a whole fucking month. Yeah. But there was a Judge John Hodgman episode where there was a dad who was like, we should be putting up the tree the day before. That's a Christmas Eve activity. Christmas Eve is one day. Christmas is one day.
Santa used to bring the tree. That was the tradition way back in the day. Santa brought the tree.
Okay, but that's not the tradition now. And also, people just like having pretty shit in their houses. Let them. So the ruling was...
Obviously, people are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want.
The ruling was that the mom and kids were allowed to decorate the house after a specific point that was agreed upon, and the dad could have, like, a misshapen, deeply... miserable sad vent tree out in the shed as long as pictures were taken of it every year, and that was his tree to be miserable with, and it was, you know, it worked. I can recommend that. But then also the other thing is just when I feel like a holiday has approached and I just kind of fucking missed it, or I'm not feeling at all like it's a good holiday for me, it's because I haven't been paying attention at all in the month preceding. And so for me, if I want to enjoy Christmas, I got to be at it for a month. I got to be building up to it.
I'm exhausted with it.
Here's the thing. If I'm going to set up decorations, I want them to be around for a little bit.
Also a good point.
Well, then have them be around for a bit.
Yeah, I don't want to set up decorations a couple of days before and then have to take them down a couple of days after.
Leave them up as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says you have to take them down the day after. You can leave them up. Leave them up into January, February. Who fucking cares? Leave them up.
But putting them up early is the problem.
That's even more confusing for me.
Do what you want.
New Year's Eve is creeping up on us earlier and earlier every year.
Do anything you fucking want. Do whatever you want.
Sure.
I'm already fucking sick of Halloween. Because that's all anybody's been talking about for the past two weeks. Huh. 2 weeks. I'm already done with it.
Wow. Yeah.
We've had two weeks of it.
So what we've learned is that salsa is whatever the Halloween equivalent of a Grinch is.
No, I get exhausted with shit. Sugar plum fairy? This sustained nonsense for 2 weeks. I'm just like, okay, man. 2 weeks is good. Two weeks is enough.
Nonsense is
and
what
now
I
I'm
thrive
done.
On.
If we start, yeah, but I get exhausted with it. Same thing with Christmas. It's just like, start Christmas on the 15th. Or, you know, and then we'll have 2 weeks of Christmas, and then it'll be done, and I'm not sick of it.
On the second week of Christmas, get out of my house!
All of that happens after Christmas.
Yeah, I know, that's the 12 days of Christmas begin.
Yeah, I get fatigued with it, is what I'm saying.
Clearly.
I understand.
I respect it.
Yeah, yeah. I can understand you having fatigue.
Everybody can do what they want. It's quite all right. I just I'm having to have this barrage at me for a fucking month. Oh my God, who can sustain anything for a month?
I call your doctor if you have a
if you're sustaining something for a month, then that's you definitely need to call your doctor.
For 4 weeks, call your doctor.
I actually do celebrate Christmas for most of the month of December.
I get fatigued
with it.
Yeah, and that's fair. You absolutely have that right. Mm. Nobody's gonna try to take. I might try to take that. I'm a bitch. But no, the only point to the having decorations available earlier is so that those that want to decorate earlier can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and obviously.
You are not that target market.
I am not the target market, and that's okay. Do what you want. I'm not an authority on this, nor should my opinion matter to you. Do what you want.
Is it a moot point?
No. Although, is it moot or mute here?
Moot.
Okay. Moot. I think.
Okay. I grew up with moot as well, but I've heard in the other places they say mute.
I have heard people say mute, and I feel like it's much like the moo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The moo, the mute, the moot.
Because Brian Murphy, years and years and years ago, this was like 20-some years ago, was telling just one of these long, 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 long stories that takes 20 minutes in the telling, and the ending was, it's a mute pint. And at the time, I didn't get the joke, and everybody roared, and I was just like, what? I don't understand. And they were, mute is another, it's moot. And I was like, now I get it.
Yeah. I mean, he told that one, but I don't think it was because it was a mute point. I think, like, it was just the wordplay on it for moot. Mm. For me, anyway.
I've heard people say mute point, but I've also heard people say archetype, or pacifically. So I don't know. People are going
to
do.
There are certain words that I have to think about when I have to go to say them and pronounce them.
Like linoleum.
Synonym.
Oh. Synonym?
And cinnamon.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Those two, for some reason, are just really hard for me.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number 3. Fixture or switch? If you were going to, where would you list and label the types of light bulbs used? On the fixture itself or on the light switch?
The types of light bulbs? What?
The types and what?
If you were going to.
Okay.
Which we're not.
None of us are.
Yeah.
Where would you list and label the type of light bulbs used? On the fixture itself or at the light switch? I'm going to say at the fixture. And I'm guessing this question probably has to do with them buying something and the label was on the light switch and not the fixture, which made them angry.
Like if they got an inline switch... a product that has like the switch halfway down the cord or something
like that.
And it's like uses 60 watt light bulbs. Yeah, no, on the fixture.
Yeah, no, this seems too specific for them to just.
I would label it like I label all of my cords, and use just a little piece of tape on the cord at the base, and that's it. That's where that goes.
Hmm.
So a gas fixture?
Yeah.
But no, like, because the cord hides, I don't need labels in places where people can see them and really aesthetic.
That's what my parents need.
An aesthetic?
Labels on all of their shit that they're trying to get Alexa to power on and off.
Yes.
And just like label the rooms. I could get tiny cross stitches.
Okay. Now you're Now you're going James with it.
This question seems too specific to be random.
Thereby hangs a tale.
All right, question number four, cast iron or air fryer. When it comes to reheating cold pizza the next morning, are you more likely to use cast iron or pop it in the air fryer?
Toaster oven.
I'll just put it back in the oven.
I've had toaster oven, and I've had air fryer pizza, but I will just eat cold pizza the next day.
No, we're all cold pizza people, so I don't have an air fryer.
If I were going to reheat it, microwave, but I guess...
I don't have an air fryer, so cast iron is the only one option really available to me.
I would probably say air fryer. I don't have an air fryer, but...
I would take a cast iron, put the pizza in it, and then put that in the oven.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah straight up, me too.
An air fryer just doesn't sound right. I mean, I bet it's probably fine, but...
It's delicious. You get crisp crust and, like, tender toppings.
Yeah, but we have overbaked. A toaster oven, and the entire job of a toaster oven is to ovenly toast things.
One of the places where Salsa and I worked, I stopped microwaving hot dogs and started using the toaster oven because it is just 100 times better.
Yeah, there are certain jobs for a microwave.
Yeah.
And there are certain jobs for a toaster oven.
Yeah.
I mean, I also have big, like, cast iron griddles and stuff, so I would put the pizza on that.
Yeah. Right.
All right.
All right, question number five, ramen or mac and cheese, which are you more likely to add an egg into at the end of the cooking process?
Oh. I've never thrown an egg in mac and cheese.
I'm more likely to put an egg in ramen.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But I mean, I will clearly, absolutely put an egg in that shit.
I'll put an egg in anything, really.
It's...
Now I want to throw an egg into mac and cheese. That sounds amazing.
I think if I was going to put an egg in mac and cheese, I would actually scramble
it first.
The egg separately and then add it.
I could see that. Yeah, I would absolutely do that.
The cheese, put a little pepper, black pepper in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that sounds like the way to do.
Mac and cheese on.
Fuck.
Mac and chomlet.
Whoa.
Oh, buddy.
Yep.
Because your omelet's already got the cheese in it.
Yeah.
So you just got to put the noodles basically into an omelet. And I'm in.
But I want that plastic sauce.
Well, what I'm thinking is, because like if you have, if you have like a little leftover mac and cheese.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just throw that shit in an omelet.
No. Oh my God, that sounds so fucking good.
Oh, with some mushrooms.
You like cut the, yes.
Obviously.
You cut the omelet open and it's just like mac and cheese just sort of like spills a little bit. Jesus Christ.
I'm a goddamn genius.
Yeah. But honestly, if you put the mac and cheese on the skillet first, then you get
a nice crunch.
That crusty mac and cheese crunch, and then you dump the egg in there, and then you spread that around so it gets all gooey through there.
Yeah, kind of like the rice dish. The common Japanese breakfast.
Yeah, what's it called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
With a crispy rice bottom.
Yeah. Or a loco moco or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm for it. Closing thoughts. These were the coherent ones I have written. Beware, there are others.
Oh, shit.
Oh, now I want those two.
I have concerns.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please go to aonpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form.
Thank you.
Does anybody have a shout-out?
I want to give a shout out to everybody working at the Twin Cities Horror Festival, especially our technicians, because it is Tech Week. We do have a similar tech thing to Fringe, where you get a few hours with each producer.
Shit.
And Sunday we were dropping off stuff for like decorating and set up for like box office and merch and all the rest of that. Mm-hmm. And technicians had been at the venue starting in the morning, and they were still there by the time we got there at like 7:30. And they were still working on things when we left.
Holy shit.
So, yeah, technicians are always kind of the unsung heroes of any production. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they were hanging lights, popping gels, readjusting whatevers. All of those things that a lot of other producers just don't think about as the necessary, proper things to have a production go. And, yeah, they're running through Tech Week. Mm-hmm. They're doing, well, it's 10 productions tech this week. Because one of them starts next week, so.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just, it's, oh, buddy. They're the ones working super hard right now. And, like, everybody on my team, or the team, is putting in a bunch of time and effort. But this week, it's all about the techs. All about the techs. So, shout out to techs.
Nice. I'm going to say shout out to Holiday Gas Station for having fucking free air. That has come in handy so many times, but especially when you've got an RV with six truck tires that are all varying degrees of low. Fuck. I can't imagine paying that by the minute. That would just... God, that sucks. No thanks.
That is quite the irritation when you have a place that charges for that.
Right. So, and I wholeheartedly support that. I literally charging for air. but yeah, I just really appreciated it. I ended up buying $100 in gas, and the idea of then paying for $100 in air to use that gas
25 cents at a time.
Fucking gall me. Yeah. Yep. Oh my God. No, there are ones that take credit card now.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. No, thanks. Mm-hmm. No, thanks. I will find a different way. So then they're just capitalizing on people's misfortune, which is, God damn. So yeah, no, I appreciate the shit out of it. Especially I went to the Holiday in Crystal. Nice. Good. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, nobody's going to be surprised here, but I'm going to give my shout out to Circus World.
In there.
I know, what a surprise. Yeah. legitimately, if you've never been, definitely take the time. You know, if you're doing a family trip to the Dells, take a day, stop over in Baraboo, see some history. There's some really fucking awesome circus history and some other fun things to do in that town. So it's well worth
as the a podcast visit. We could always do a threefer. Dells, Circus World, and then
fuck yeah. I mean,
on the Rock. Holy fuck.
We would actually have to do one of the activities we've been talking about doing forever.
Yeah. I mean, I really think we should just take a week or an extended weekend and get it all done.
No, I completely agree. We just keep talking about it, never doing it.
Get a Baraboo B&B. Yeah,
Baraboo. There's the Ringling House. We could get the Baraboo B&B.
Yeah, shit. All right.
Anyway, so yeah. Again, nobody's surprised, but fuck it. I'm gonna do it anyway because I'm Circus. does anybody have James? I don't know if you have anything to plug at all. No,
not till November.
Okay. Well, I don't, so I think we can probably skip over this part.
My God, you fucking sons of bitches. Honestly, I just plugged all of my shit already. I spent 20-some minutes talking about my plug. So. But just as a reminder, in case you glossed over all of that.
Suffered a head wound and forgot the last 20 minutes.
Twin Cities Horror Festival opens this Thursday. 6 p.m. is the first show. I believe it starts with the very long-titled French one.
It's here.
So come on by, come play, have fun, check out merch, check out shows, buy some concessions, give us money. And remember, it is the 100% of the ticket sales go back to the artists.
That's so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. So please come by and support the artists.
Hell yeah.
Also me, but mostly the artists.
Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye bye, love you, bye bye.
In that case, thank you so very much for everybody who listens to this thing. Hey, thank you to Gray for sending in the Yay! Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna motherfuckers,
yes,
eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I...
Just go ahead.
Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.
Oh,